Let's go. John Emery Jr., would you take him back? I'm looking at you right now. He announced earlier today via Instagram, or should I say earlier today via Twitter, he said he was praying about his decision of whether or not to come back for college football. So, as many of you know, tore his ACL pretty early in the season, and the year before also had the same, if not similar, injury versus Florida. He is a 2019 recruit. So for reference, that is the same recruiting class as Derek Stingley Jr. That is the same recruiting class as Cardell Thomas. Do you remember him? So he would be a year 7 player. And he does indeed have a ring as a member of the 2019 LSU National Championship team. I am for him coming back to LSU for a few reasons. You take a look at the LSU running back room right now. The first thing is your best back in Caden Durham is a different player than John Emery. John Emery, of course, is a bigger back floating around that 215 to 225 mark. John Emery was playing his best football towards the end of his LSU tenure. Obviously, versus Florida, he pulled one of the nastiest juke moves we've ever seen from an LSU running back, and on that same run, tore his leg. Then, obviously, last year versus USC, he was by far the best running back in that game. So, I am for him coming back. He knows the offense. He's a year 7 guy, so he's experienced, 5-star former recruit. It's also important to note who he is as a player. Even though he is a 5-star, he's closer to, let's say, a Nicholas Brissett than he is a Leonard Fournette. He is not a special talent, but he is indeed a good football player. So I am for him coming back. Type Y for yes, type N for no. And part of why I am for him coming back is I would be lying to you if I haven't been saying that via the transfer portal, we need to go get another running back. I've been saying this for weeks, so it would make sense. Now, the question would be, does LSU want him back? I don't know that. I really don't. I have been dealing with a lot of stuff here at the house. We had plumbers, door fixers. I got the news the same way you guys got the news. I thought his career was over. There was actually someone who commented under one of my videos, and I said, no, I think he's going to the NFL. I didn't think he would get a year 7 eligibility. This is where, though, I need to be true to each and every one of you, because lucky enough, with this job, there are some of you that listen to every last show that we do. And if you are a super diehard PHLer, you know that I am anti year 7 college football players. In most instances, I believe the first year you play college football, you should be given a 6-year window to complete your 4 years of eligibility. And this is also including the caveat that you were given a free season with the 2020 LSU, or should I say worldwide pandemic, where everybody got an extra year of eligibility. John Emery was a beneficiary of that. So I'm just against a year 7 collegiate athlete altogether. College football and just college sports in general, it's about completing 4 years of eligibility. And I believe you have ample amount of opportunities to do that in 6 years. That would be basically a redshirt year given for your injury if you were to have one, and then also just your basic 4-game and under redshirt season. So even though I'm against the rule of a year 7 potential player, that is the way things are now, and it would benefit us. So at my core, I'm against this in most instances. This is why I was so public when Diego Pavia was given the extra year. Once again, that's not personal to John at all, at all. Okay. So there you go. Let's go to Ellie Mom. Don't you think BK would have counseled him not to come back if they didn't think he would get playing time? Okay. I get your question. The problem with projecting playing time at the running back position is that it's way too volatile. It's a little bit more projectable at quarterback if I know you're going to be the QB3 or the QB2. It's a little bit more projectable there. It's also a little bit more projectable at, let's say, a position like offensive line. If you're the OL8, so you're not the top backup, you're not even the second backup to that top backup, it's going to be hard for you to see the field. But at running back, you never know. You honestly never really know. And we can go down a gazillion examples of this very thing happening at LSU. Going into last season, it did not shock me that Caden Durham ended up having the season that he had. But he did start the season way down the running back depth chart. And by week 3, I mean, we're not even talking about later in the season. By week 3, it was clear he was our best option. Let's go all the way back to a top 5 LSU running back of this era. I remember working for Dig Magazine, Cody Worsham, and Cody Worsham deserves some credit. My buddy Jacques Doucet lost his Twitter account. Cody Worsham was able to help him get it back. That was 90,000 followers that Jacques was about to lose. So shout out to you, Cody. But Cody is a former LSU media guy, and now he's with USC. And we were both working together at Dig Magazine, and he worked his ass off to put together a piece on the 4 horsemen. And the 4 horsemen for the 2012 LSU running back season was Alfred Blue, Kenny Hilliard, Michael Ford, and Terrence McGee. All right. Those were the top 4 running backs. They were on the cover of our magazine. We did a deep dive, or he did. I wasn't involved with this. And what happened? Well, versus South Carolina, they started giving carries to a running back by the name of Jeremy Hill, and the rest was history. He was the RB5. So Brian Kelly might look at this and say, hey, I have 3 scholarship running backs on my team. We can get down a rabbit hole with the Trey Holly situation. I don't think running back is a position where you can afford to not have as many bodies in that room as possible. So I understand that there are quite a few of you that are tired of the John Emery era, because every single season we have done this show, almost to a T, we have done this show. I am for John Emery coming back. He does have his degree, so we don't have to worry about academics, and he's put his body on the line for the team. So I am pro John Emery if he wants to play here to come back. But once again, according to Wilson Alexander, I'll be honest. Normally when a story like this breaks, I make it a few phone calls. Like I said, I just wasn't able to do so this weekend. Okay? So there you go. Now, I'm kind of in limbo right now. I could be going to the LSU-Texas baseball game tomorrow night. Still waiting on confirmation of a ticket. Obviously, this LSU-Texas ticket became a lot more coveted when Texas lost in the NCAA tournament. So I might be going. I'll let you know on Twitter and in our Patreon Discord if I'm going to be able to make the trip. All right. So there was some more LSU football practice earlier today. And, you know, I am of the belief that all the practices are kind of going to look the same. I have been asked by a few of you my thoughts on the LSU spring game. So there won't be a spring game. There will just be basically a practice. And then, of course, they will have like an autograph session, which I think is actually better. I do. Because, number one, you're still going to get to see some football. And then, number two, you're going to get access to these athletes. The good thing about a spring game is it is far more lax. Everything. You get there early enough, you could sit front row. You get there early enough, you could sit 20 rows up, 50 rows up. Now, they kind of put everyone in the same spot of the stadium. But if you're on the fence about going, you should go. Now, I was thinking about going. I got booked to do something for with you know my side business, so I won't be able to go. But I'm excited for everyone getting the opportunity to go. And I don't really care that the spring game isn't what it used to be. I also am not sure if the players care all that much, whether or not we do have a spring game. Now, even though I am for John Emery coming back, this does not change my opinion of Caden Durham, who will be, by the end of next season, a top five consensus running back in the SEC. I mean, he's already up there. He might already be top five. All right. A lot of good running backs have left the SEC, most notably Dylan Sampson, but Etienne at Georgia is gone. Jarquez Hunter is gone at Auburn. All those guys are in the NFL now, or going to be in the NFL. So I'm really excited about Caden Durham next season. And as many of you know, I'm excited about the great Harlan Berry. Ran Reed, there you go. Sign Carter up. He's thick. Huh? I am not as thick. In fact, I have lost weight. And it's ironic, Ran. I've actually lost enough weight to where I am under my SEC running back threshold of 205. I'm slightly under that. Now, if I was still in the 215, 220s, I would definitely volunteer my services. But I was a defensive tackle. So if LSU needs a very, very, very undersized DT, sign me up. But if you're under 205, you better have some wiggle or some elite, elite speed. And Caden Durham certainly has that. And Harlan Berry definitely has that as well. So there you go. We'll take a few questions. We're not going to go too long tonight because we're all March Madnessing right now. Today kind of sucked as far as the games are concerned. But there you go. Victor says, yes. Chef says, I always want him back. All right. I'm about that life. Let's see. John, the rubber band man, wide as a Taliban. Macerano wants to ask about Jelani Watkins. He is currently in track and field. And he is very, very good in track and field. So he's been locked up with that, and rightfully so. LSU, of course, has a really, really good track and field program. Okay? So, let's see. There's a few other things I wanted to get to today. I just got so angry at my wife. My wife picked in one of our groups, March Madness groups, she picked Kentucky to win it all. Kentucky might get beat in the first round. I think they're probably the most overrated team in this tournament, which means they're going to win it all. You know, as far as, and I'll probably end on this. Actually, I don't mind going a little bit longer, but you know, I was reading something from earlier today as far as the practice available to the media where they're able to film portion. There have been some tough days for the LSU quarterback room. I do want to point out how windy it's been everywhere. Literally everywhere. Fires popping up everywhere because of these winds. Yeah, it's not an excuse. And it's not like the quarterbacks have played poorly per se, but there have been some hiccups. This happens every spring. It literally happens every single spring. So I'm not worried about that, even though there have been some reports that said, hey, this got through an interception here. That actually makes me excited. So there you have it. Glad for it, says George. Let's go to EW Wright. I want to get to everyone's comments. I would understand if he does want to go elsewhere and to be more RB1, RB2 in order to get drafted in day two. So, John Emery, 2019 recruit. All right, so you enter LSU, let's say, 17 years old on the low end. So that means he was 17, and he's entering year seven, minimum 24 years of age. That is old when it comes to being a potential NFL running back. So that's not ever going to be an age where a running back is going to be drafted. You've got to be either 2021 or 2022 to get day one or day two NFL draft capital. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL. And I didn't want to spend too much time about the recruiting commitment from Tristan Keyes. You could see our full video on that yesterday. This flew under the radar that Danielle Hunter signed a $35 million guaranteed contract with the Texans for one season this next year. And normally, when you are signing a more veteran pass rusher for these one-year guaranteed deals, you're really pushing towards the Super Bowl. A lot of edge rushers around this age get those kinds of bags, right? And it's like a one-year kind of prove-it deal. And obviously, Danielle Hunter's proven a lot. I would love to know if LSU is setting an NFL record for most guaranteed money in a single season. Because they very well could be smashing that record this next year. That is very good for recruiting. It really is. Because you legitimately can go to each and every recruit and say, look, I'm looking at you right now. Tristan Keyes and Mama Keyes, Daddy Keyes, Meemaw Keyes, Pawpaw Keyes, the whole family. And say, no matter what we do in terms of NIL, we're going to take care of you there. But there is no way in the history of NIL that there will ever be a collegiate athlete in the latter stages of his career that signs a guaranteed one-year deal for $35 million. It will never happen. That is, let's say, Keyes ends up getting $3 million. That's on the high end from LSU. That is an 11x amount of dollars. All right. And that's not just 11x now. That's 11x 6-7 years from now. Where it's more valuable. You're older. So come to LSU. We have proven time in, time out that your NIL is going to be better. Your situation is going to be better. Your development of where, of course, even that wide receiver is going to be better than anywhere else you could potentially go. And it's a big deal. It really, really, really is a big deal. All right. Let's go to Julie here, wants to keep the live stream going, with a very nice super chat. I really appreciate you. Once again, you can send it on here. You could send it Venmo, Cash App, all that good stuff. Love hanging out with the PHL Nation, baby. She says, who are you most excited to see this year? Give her one offensive player and one defensive player. It's very good stuff, all right? So, I will go back to an observation that we have shared on here plenty of times. Shared it once on Blake's show. I'll share it again here. They did a mic'd up segment with Bauer Sharp. So far up to this point, they have done total three mic'd up segments. They've done it with Barry and Brown. They've done it with Bauer Sharp. They've done it with Jack Pyburn. Now, that doesn't mean those players are going to be good. It doesn't. Just because you get picked for a media opportunity does not mean that ends up being, you know, you being a star or whatever. But those are three first-year transfers. And I have all my all the LSU alerted accounts on social media. I get their post immediately when they post. And it's like one of the few post notifications because I'm a maniac. But I have noticed via that, via staffers, via practice reports, that there are quite a few transfers that have made themselves comfortable. And by doing these kind of media things and showing immediate love to transfers who just got to Baton Rouge a few weeks ago is a sign. It's a signal that we are going to reward who we think the best players are. And you don't have to be here a gazillion years for us to give you the biggest potential microphone you can have in college football, which is being mic'd up with one of the five biggest brands in the sport. When it comes to social media followers, on almost every platform, LSU is, if not number one, no worse than number five. So they're micing you up. They're editing only the good shots. And they're giving you essentially free publicity. In fact, they're paying you to be here. And I find that to be very interesting. So for the offensive player, and that doesn't directly answer Julie's question, but it was one of the topics I wanted to get to. I'll go with Bauer Sharp offensively. The post-Mason Taylor tight end position will be fascinating. I loved me some Mason Taylor. We were overly reliant on Mason Taylor. Just far too many snaps at the single most exhausting position on the offensive side of the football, which to me is tight end. And I would like to see more tight end, not only usage, but versatility. Not only in terms of what our tight ends do, but who is actually doing it at the tight end position. So, Tre'Davious Green, Bauer Sharp, Donovan Green, excited about that trio. And then defensively, who am I most excited to see? I'll go with Demarcus Cooley. It has not gone the smoothest for him. And our patrons know this. We uploaded a podcast on this. He's been beaten. It would be very nice if he is a major factor on next year's team. One note, going back to LSU tweeting out a clip, Javian Toviano has gotten a lot of love from LSU. They're trying to mold him into one of these starting safeties. I don't think LSU wants to go a full year with the Jordan Gilbert experiment again, which I don't think Jordan Gilbert's a worse player, but there was a lot of not so great. And one thing I think the LSU defense needs to be a little bit better, one area where they need to be a little bit better is our overall angles, gap integrity. Sometimes we can be a little too aggressive. And some of that comes with hiring a defensive coordinator who bases his identity on havoc. The problem with havoc is you can't open yourself up to big gains, right? You saw last season where we were not gap sound. It destroyed us versus South Carolina, destroyed us versus Alabama. And when you play a lot of zone read kind of teams, well, there's a reason why the word read is involved in the play, because you're reading what you want to do with the football. And if a lane opens itself up, you read that that lane is open and you run through it. So, Julie, thank you so much for your super chat, and we'll keep this party moving, all right? Tyler wants no more soft defenses. Carvis says, I like the athleticism of Spears and Toviano. Guess what, Carvis? I like you. Pause. Big time pause. Coming up, I will read the most ridiculous comment I've received regarding the Tristan Keys commitment and whether or not you should be excited about Keys potentially coming to LSU.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go! So, I got an email actually from a longtime viewer, and he said, Carter, I actually think the commitment of Tristan Keys is a bad thing. And he mentioned if he is committing this early, there's no way he's eventually going to sign with us. And he feels like Tristan Keys is leveraging us just by committing at this juncture. Excuse me. And I don't know the young man. I don't know his intentions. But I would always prefer a player commit to our school than not commit to our school. Well, Carter, what if he's like 60-40 on actually signing with LSU? Well, let's say 5 years ago, I would agree with that. If I legitimately thought that a player was not going to sign with LSU, I did not want that player committing. And the reason is because you only got 25 of those slots a year. I cannot stress how much harder recruiting has gotten in terms of negotiations, NIL, and all of that, but how much easier it's gotten in terms of planning. Because it used to be you only got 25 slots every single year. And that includes transfers. Now you have 105 total slots for the entire team. You have unlimited amounts of bodies you can bring in. And even the value of a scholarship and how we view scholarship is about to change. So I understand that there are some that would say, well, you know, maybe if he doesn't actually end up picking us, that could block another wide receiver from eventually choosing LSU. Well, if that's the case, you were never meant to play wide receiver at LSU, where there is no guaranteed targets or reps. So I get that. I do. I won't say who sent the email, though. So there you go. Now, in the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as you possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Normally on the Wednesday, Thursday live streams, we like to keep it shorter and sweeter. But if you want to go 4 hours tonight, we can. Okay. Now, it is March Madness. This will be the last time we will be live before LSU takes the court in Baton Rouge this weekend. I'm trying to get a ticket, so somebody hit me up. I'm debating on making the drive to Austin tomorrow for the Friday night baseball game and then getting to the PMAX Saturday for the Kim Mulkey extravaganza. It's a lot of driving, but it's worth it. I want to support my teams. Two big games. LSU will win. They will get out of the Baton Rouge Regional. No surprise there. But I thought it was interesting. One of my favorite LSU basketball players is Marcus Thornton. Very underrated all-time LSU athlete. Whew. I really am glad he fired back at Brandon Jennings. I won't get all into it, but I'm just kind of glad he's in the news because there's a lot of people Googling who is Marcus Thornton. And not only was he a good player at LSU, hell, he was a good player at freaking with the Kings. He was good. All right. Marcus Thornton would give you business. Okay. Also, March Madness, the Final Four, I'm calling it now. It'll be 4-1 seeds in the Final Four. If you did all 4-1 seeds, you're a smart cookie. Devin says he's excited for the baseball game Saturday. I'm going to be just missing you. Do you have a ticket hookup in Austin? I do. It's just actually talking myself into driving that long distance, getting a hotel, all that stuff. But, yeah. You going to the game, Chance? You should. Ron Rivera, now the general manager for Cal football. Okay, there you go. Let's see. Well, Chance, you should go Friday. Send me an email after this live is over. Crazy. AP, man. Appreciate you big time. Oh, did I pick Clemson to go in the Final Four? I'm just happy Will Wade got the dub today. I have no problem cheering for Will Wade. I do have a small issue. Small. Like super tiny issue. With everyone like bringing back, well, LSU. Da, 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 da. Y'all, the wiretap was tough to overcome. His wife being involved with some of the damn strong offers with their name on some of the chat. I mean, and then it was just nonstop national media onslaught with Will Wade. I get it. Totally get it. But I think LSU was kind of stuck. Was the timing bad? Sure. But I think we can all agree that we've had more good luck than bad luck. So it does sting, though, seeing McNeese do what they do. It really does sting. And it stings that it is not good for me or anyone that does like team-focused media when you have to publicly state such a negative opinion about a coach or a team. But that's, you know, basically, you know, what's been for LSU men's basketball for me over these past couple of months. You know, it is what it is. But that'll do it for me tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much, Julie, for your generous super chat a little bit earlier. And, I'm leaning towards going tomorrow. I got to support Monster Mile. But if you want to connect with me, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Power Hour LSU. That's PowerHour LSU. It is PHL. Boom. And tonight, we're doing some butter chicken. Let's go. Let's go.